This is CliffCentral.com.
Demi Lovato. Dun, dun. All right, it's time for Mabale Moloi to give us the latest. Are you ready? Mubs, what do you have for us today?
Okay, so President Jacob Zuma reshuffled his cabinet last week.
Yes.
But what we have since discovered is that prior to him reshuffling that cabinet, there was a delegation from the Russian government that made a quick stop over at the president's office. The Sunday Times has reported and revealed that a high-level Russian team met with the president on the Monday, just before he told his top six about his decision to make changes to his cabinet. Now, government insiders said that the group came to the country to warn Zuma's administration to implement the 1 trillion rand new nuclear build project.
So, in other words, like, this president of ours is really good at being a proxy for everyone else. You know what I mean? Like, he has no qualms. If you cut him in on the deal, he will make shit happen. Like, mm-hmm. He's so effective for this. He's really good at being corrupt. It's a talent. No wonder he's decided to focus on it full time.
Well, they say know your strengths and weaknesses, Gareth.
Right.
Following the meeting, the president announced the removal of Nkensani Kubayi from the energy portfolio to the communications ministry. She was replaced by former state security minister David Mashobo, who was trained in Russia before taking up the intelligence post in 2014. It all comes together nicely.
That makes sense.
But, like, are you going to be the one to say no to Vlad?
Wow. Have you? Did you hear?
Are you going to be the leader that says no to Vladimir Putin?
Did you see him on TV? He went on TV in Russia on Russian television, and he sang Blueberry Hill.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he was. He went on the stage on television. Listen to this. This is Vladimir Putin. I'm not making any of this up. You can go and see the YouTube video. That's him at the piano. All right, watch this. This is the Russian president. Got up and did that for fun.
Sure.
And then the band helped him out. Some kind of dinner that was hosted. Pretty good, huh? But wait, he isn't finished yet. The president of Russia can also sing.
No.
Yep, watch this. That's Vlad. Did you see who was in the crowd there?
No.
Gérard Depardieu, who's obviously a big fan of Putin. Mm-hmm. He's been a big supporter of him. I saw Kevin Costner, Meg Ryan.
Where was this happening?
In Russia.
Oh, okay. What are they doing there?
These are all his allies. These are his big friends in Zvist. These are the people who back him, who support him. I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill.
I feel so awkward now.
Yeah.
And, like, you cannot say anything bad about...
This is just after he, like, got that idiot Jacob Zuma to sign off on that nuclear deal. He's like...
Let me sing. Great day.
Yeah. I mean, I just brought another tin pot dictator in line. So let me show the rest of you what I can do with my talent.
So now those allegations about his interference in the U.S. election still not going away.
Nope.
Do you think Vlad is possibly the most dangerous man on the planet?
Yeah.
I really think he might be. I think he takes the gold medal here.
Meg Ryan, Kevin Costner, they're all in the audience clapping away. They can't believe how lucky they are to see the president of Russia singing. I think at that point, if Trump could only sing, we would have supported him. Oh, hang on, we did by supporting Vlad. Right? Anyway, so there's the guy. That's meet your new boss, everybody.
Sure.
It's meet the new boss day.
President Putin, sir. Yeah,
what a pleasure to meet you, sir.
What a pleasure to meet you.
Where would you like to put up this nuclear plant? Just tell us where.
1 trillion rands worth.
Right.
1 trillion.
Yes, sir. My thrill.
On Blueberry Hill. In fact, we should call the nuclear plant Blueberry Hill in honor of this. Come claim the human being. Ah, Sharon Stone was there too, I see.
So they were all in Russia.
Oh, yeah. These are the people who bitched about Trump winning the elections, but they're in Russia to celebrate with Putin. Oh, you two-faced Hollywood nonsense rubbish people.
Who tells the president that he can't sing?
Nobody. Are you insane?
Like, if I was Vlad, I would now release an album and I would make Boris Berezovsky
did.
That's single dead. Person buy the album.
Yeah. All the Russians have to buy one.
It is law. I have to make it to number one but on iTunes.
This will go number one. He's got 7 million views on this already.
Well, why do you think Manny Pacquiao got into politics in the Philippines? Because people started to laugh at his music.
Oh.
So he got in there to make it. You can't.
He's still going.
I don't know. I kind of like it. I live the moon to go. Spend the way to go.
This is great. Everybody says he's such an evil, you know, calculating Machiavellian warlord, but actually listen to him. I love this, come on. Very nice. All right. Thank you, Vlad.
Sure.
It's good to see the human face of, well, semi-human face of Vladimir Putin.
I don't know how I feel about it.
All right, Mubs, what else is going on now that we're about to be enslaved by the Russians for 300 years?
Well, Burning in Tlemeza is still not happy about the fact that he was essentially pushed out of his job.
Yeah.
And so he has turned to the highest court in the land to win that job back. He released a statement through his lawyer yesterday where he revealed that he has lodged a constitutional court application for leave to appeal against the Supreme Court of Appeal ruling that set aside his appointment as head of the elite crime-fighting unit, Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, Ntlemeza wants a police minister to reinstate him as head of the Hawks. He was removed in April after the North Gauteng High Court in Pretoria upheld a previous ruling that had declared his appointment invalid and unlawful. But no, Mr. Ntlemeza is not happy, and so he is now exercising his constitutional right to fight back for his job, and he is taking it to the High Court.
Couldn't we give him a constitutional right to piss off and never come back?
Well,
that would be really
could,
nice.
You could try, but I don't think that he would listen to you.
Hmm. Burning in Tlemeza. He wants his job back.
He wants his job back as the head of the Hawks.
God, what is wrong with someone? I mean, he's obviously just after money. He doesn't really believe he can get the job back. He just wants a payout, right? That's clearly what it is. All right.
And then another woman is said to have accused football boss Danny O'Don of raping her. This is according to singer and former MP Jennifer Ferguson, who earlier last week revealed that she herself was raped by Danny O'Don. Now, Ferguson was speaking to Herald Live from Sweden last week Thursday, and she told them that she had received a message the day before from somebody who experienced the same thing that she had. She added, "I don't know if she will be ready to disclose a relative of somebody in a very high position. It's a very big step to come out."
Wow.
Now, the 56-year-old singer and former ANC MP has spent the last few days since revealing her alleged rape, facing an overwhelming barrage of questions and also coming to terms with speaking out 24 years later.
Whew.
Yeah. Phone calls, WhatsApp messages, and visits to Danny Yordan's home have yielded no response. Nobody seems to know where Danny Yordan is. Does anybody know where Danny Yordan is?
Well, he's not in Europe because I think FIFA might arrest him.
Okay, but is he...
So we can totally rule that out.
So he is nowhere in Europe. Is he here in South Africa? I'd like to know because nobody can get a hold of this guy.
I don't think he's in PE because he failed miserably there as... What was he for the ANC there?
Mayor,
he was
wasn't
trying
he?
To be mayor of
mayor,
PE.
Mayor, whatever.
Yeah.
He's not in the studio, Mavs. I did check.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't want someone like Daniel Don hanging out here.
Yeah, no, thanks, Ben. It's...
Well, you can't reach him because he's on a conference call right now.
What?
He's on a conference call right now.
How do you know that?
Harvey Weinstein and
Bill Cosby. Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Best to get...
Swapping tips and trading. Yeah.
Best to get advice from the right people when faced with these kinds of allegations.
Exactly. I never thought I'd say this, but men are trash.
Welcome to the party of this.
Now, Ferguson has said in a statement that... she did not want to commit to opening a criminal case against Yordan for the rape alleged to have taken place at the Holiday Inn in Port Elizabeth back in 1993.
Yeah, what a place to go. Mm. Really? A Holiday Inn? Jesus.
I mean, this was...
we can judge.
This was the 90s.
Oh, but still in the 90s, there were still Hilton hotels if you just want to.
Really? Why do you want to be paying Hilton hotel rates when you can...
What's next? The F1? What are those? Yeah, the Formula 1.
Formula 1.
Tweetweefir.
What? What's Tweetweefir?
It's a hotel in Pretoria. It's shitty.
Oh. Don't say.
Well, I don't know if it's actually. I don't know if it's shitty. It might be really nice.
Is it like a motel thing?
There's just this funny. It's this funny name. That's why I remember it. Tweetweefir.
Okay, now Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma was recently flagged along with 27 other people as individuals that UK financial institutions should review as possibly being involved in criminal financial activities, but. The presidential hopeful and her backers have labeled these reported links between her and the Guptas as a clear attempt to block her from ascending to the party's top post. They're all just trying
that all
to
on
get
her own.
Into her way.
Isn't she trying to block herself? I mean, she's just been run the most useless campaign in ANC history.
She was mentioned in a letter written by Lord Peter Hain to UK authorities, claiming that London-based banks may have handled illicit funds linked to the president, his family, and the Guptas, and then Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma also being dragged into those links as well. But as far as Kebima Phatswe is concerned, they're all just trying to get in the way of her succession. And quite frankly, he has taken exception to the fact that foreign intelligence are interfering in the ANC succession debate.
Kebby's the guy who he was filmed with his one arm like naked trying to bang that prostitute, wasn't
he?
What a guy. What a guy to come to your rescue in Nkosazana. You must be so proud.
He said in his own words, they are interfering in internal affairs of the ANC to determine who is the next president of the organization. Because they don't like Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. Yep, that's according to Kibi Mapatswe.
It must be great to live in that world where you're like, that person doesn't like me. Therefore, me.
Yeah.
It's like it's children on the playing field at school. They don't like me. They don't like me. They're not nice to me. They're not my friends. Yeah, my little nephew is 3.5. And when he doesn't get what he wants, he goes, you're not my friend. That's what Kebby Mapatswe is like.
Oh, I still use that.
You do? Do you say you're not my friend and you storm off in a huff?
Yes. I say I won't talk to you anymore. No one play with you.
All right.
So talking about financial skullduggery and crimes and things like that.
Just hold on, Ben. Before you move, I can understand this person's pain. Someone's just sent me an anonymous WhatsApp message to say, I started off learning Mandarin because I thought the Chinese were going to be our masters. Now I'm wondering if I need to start learning some Russian.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
That's tricky. So tough.
Right, well, there we are.
Just ride shirtless on horses like Vlad does. Maybe you guys will be BFFs.
Or learn to tame a bear at the very least.
True.
All right, so Ben, you were saying that when we're talking about corruption, what?
Well, I've discovered something over the weekend which I found really, really worrying. And I'll have more on this tomorrow because there's some clips we haven't got time to play now. But between 2013 and 2014, 40 suicides in what industry?
The dental industry.
No, I think that's 4,000.
Finance or banking.
Sure.
Bankers.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh. 40 suicides.
Yeah. Really?
So now there's been this amazing investigative journalist piece around this.
God, and, that's horrible.
Well, it's a little bit fishy here. So one or two suicides you get, like the guy's kind of really gone beyond his means. He's got three wives. They all hate him. He's in debt up to his eyeballs. The police knock on his door. He jumps out of his window in a 57-story building.
Mm-hmm. God.
That's happened before. It happened early back in the Great Depression, 1929. But 40 suicides? Some of these suicides have been investigated, and they're a little bit like, oh, well, he trip-slipped and fell off a building.
Huh.
So Deutsche Bank has been implicated in this. Some of these suicides just don't add up. Some of them are actually really well-linked. So, I've got some other clips to play on this tomorrow. We'll make a bit of a feature of it because I think this is fascinating. A guy called Michael Gray. So if you want to jump the gun on this, Michael Gray is an investigative journalist. He's gone and he's been doing some digging.
Yeah.
And, as they say in the classics, dead men tell no lies. Sorry, tell no tales. So there's a lot of dead men in banking. Obviously a lot of tales that we don't quite know about, but 40 suicides.
Mm. My sister works in the banking industry, and she says like there's a lot of this, and oddly enough, like her superiors still don't know what the right way to deal with it is. So a few months ago, a guy jumped out of a building as well, out of their building, just like,
what,
okay,
like right here in Cape Town.
No, yeah. This is when she was still working in Durban, and this dude jumped out of the building, and they're like,
well, in Durban the buildings aren't very high. I mean, was he trying to get to his car, or was it suicide,
bro? Let's not go down that road. Like, it's too soon for this. And it was like 1-ish in the afternoon. And just like, okay, guys, take the afternoon off. See you tomorrow, though. So what, you just skip 2 hours and you hope that you'll be over it in 2 hours of the workday. And you come back tomorrow and you're fit as a fiddle and ready again. But it's this thing of, as well, when you're managing clients' portfolios and you're taking risks for your clients, and you say, yes, invest all your money there, and then it backfires, you feel accountable for it, and you don't know how you'll come back from it. And so you just go, okay, that's it, I'm done.
Well, see, one of the most worrying things about the suicides here is that they've basically taken 5 to 6 years after the recession. So when the shit hits the fan in a recession, you can kind of almost say, well, you know, these guys, they just lost everything, so they killed themselves. But this is after recession time that all these suicides are coming to be.
Wow.
So this is where this journalist got really into it. 40 suicides.
So what is he alleging here? Or what is he trying to say? That some of them are...
Well, I mean, if you just go to Deutsche Bank, two execs in the same place killed themselves.
Wow.
So there's something fishy about there. But, you know, one of the suicides was that when they looked at the footage, the guy was facing the building before he allegedly jumped. So maybe that's not the most comprehensive way of doing a suicide. He was facing the building. So when you jump off a building, you face where you're going to jump.
Yeah.
And you make peace with what you're doing and you do it. This guy was facing the building.
Uh-oh.
When he hit the ground, two men approached his body, one of which was supposedly his best friend. These two guys examined the body and with absolutely no emotion walked away from the body.
So a certain conspiracy theorist would say those two wanted to check for certain if he's dead.
Well, guys, if one of us fell out of this building, one of us, and we all went down there, I don't think we'd go, yeah, okay, he's dead, let's get back to the show.
Yeah.
But there would be something, it's a bit different, right? Mm. If a guy trips and falls and grazes his knee, you go, oh, get up, man. Where if you kind of fall to your death, you don't kind of have the same emotion.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty damn cold.
Mm-hmm.
banking.
Well, there's another dangerous profession. So if you're thinking of, you know, what professions you should avoid, don't be lured in by the money. It looks like they're making huge amounts of money, but they're also very suicidal. So, you know, take care of yourselves, like Jerry Springer used to say, and each other.
Don't be fooled by the rocks that you got. Sidebar, by the way, just on the note of like conspiracies now.
What the actual fuck?
Did you hear all of that?
What did you just say?
Sidebar, don't be fooled by the rocks that I've got.
Well, I was sort of quoting J-Lo, and then this popped into my head. So it's a sidebar. We're going to take
My buddy wants to attach a slapper hand to a robot arm and just press a button, and it must just slap you when you talk shit.
Because she doesn't have the energy to slap me anymore. No. So
I'm not allowed to smack you. It's actually not right.
It's harassment.
It's now illegal in South Africa. Right?
People are so sick.
I had dinner with this major, major conspiracy theorist over the weekend. So there's this new movie out, and I think Gord spoke about it very briefly weeks ago. No. And he didn't even get the title right. But there's this movie called Geostorm, which is out now on the circuit, and it speaks about how America actually has these machines out in outer space, and these machines control the weather.
Mm-hmm. I remember him.
So all of this like natural disaster, and America's just waiting for the perfect moment.
Yeah, Mubs and I remember hearing this, and then we immediately stopped believing any of it. And
thank you.
Yeah, we started reading other stuff on the internet at that point.
No, I'm totally on that team.
You reckon
as well.
This is possible?
No, but there was this person who was over at our place this weekend who was totally on board with this, saying it's just a matter of time and America's going to launch, you know, these massive, massive hailstorms the size of like
cars. You gotta start hanging around with smart people, you know, like, this is bad for your brain.
But I'm just like, I don't even know how people believe this. And she's an engineer by profession and totally behind this. So this is how people are so easily influenced. Like, what sense does this have? But anyway, so yeah, they believe that. And now, Geostorm, the movie's out now. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah, I remember
that
when
America
when
controls the weather.
When Gord mentioned it, he was poo-pooing the movie, saying that Hollywood has officially run out of ideas.
Mm. Right.
So I don't know if we'll be checking that movie
out. I don't believe that they can control the weather. If they could, why would they let hurricanes keep hitting? It doesn't make the government look good. It's ridiculous.
All right.
People are so ridiculous. Trump says
people are so sick.
Trump says in the next week they're going to release a whole lot of JFK stuff that's been declassified.
Yes.
Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have, Gareth.
For what exactly?
Listen to this. My brother's got the story.
Okay, so yes, he is now going to allow long blocked secret files of the assassination of JF Kennedy to be opened to the public 54 years later.
The conspiracy theorists are going crazy about this stuff.
Well, the conspiracy theorists had a lot to say after, what's his name, Lee Harvey Oswald.
Mm-hmm.
He is the lone gunman who was said to have been responsible for the assassination.
Right.
Back and to the left. But then he was assassinated when they were trying to transfer him from the city jail. So he died. But over the years, conspiracy theorists have had, you know, they've pointed their fingers at a lot of different people, including Fidel Castro, the mafia, the KGB, even the CIA at one point was accused of being behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Right.
So yeah, you know, Trump has said, oh, well, you know, it's time, so we'll make the files public for everyone to see. That's going to happen this coming Thursday, I think, October the 26th.
I don't think there's going to be anything there. But we do have a conspiracy theorist in our midst. I mean, there's someone here who believes that Tupac was killed by Will Smith. What do you say? Do you think they're going to unveil anything important in the JFK files, Ben?
I say stop discrediting truth just because it doesn't suit you. And as the JFK things, sure. I mean, he has sex tunnels in the White House. Hello?
What are you saying?
Sorry,
you had sex tunnels, but what do you... I mean, that's old news. There's nothing new that's going to be revealed here.
But as well, they wouldn't let the sitting president reveal things that could damage the country, that would ruin the reputation of the White House.
So you're going conspiracy theory within a conspiracy theory. That's where CS
CA is your true conspiracy theorist. He'll pick up on some tidbit at some dinner with Gord.
No.
And he'll bring it, he'll then quote it as gospel. I do my research. There's a big difference here, Gareth.
I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. It's just logic. They wouldn't let the president say something or reveal something horrible about another president.
Well, listen, Trump himself hopped on the conspiracy theory bandwagon. I don't know if you remember this, but during last year's presidential campaign, he linked Republican rival Senator Ted Cruz's father to the Kennedy assassination, saying his father was with Lee Harvey Oswald prior to Oswald's prior to the shooting. He said this back in May 2016. In a telephonic interview with Fox News. He said, I mean, what was he doing? What was he doing with Lee Harvey Oswald shortly before the death, before the shooting? And then Cruz, of course, rebutted all of that, saying that it's completely nuts.
But, you know, this is the problem is like, if so Trump's going to release it. So how much can it possibly, you know?
How much can we trust it?
Yeah. Like with Trump, do you really want to trust that guy with this kind of thing? I mean, if he suddenly said to us, all right, the whole aliens thing, it's totally true. What are you going to do?
Oof. Going to have to ask a few questions.
Totally true. I've seen the aliens. They look a lot like me. I might be one of them.
All right, listen to this. Who do you think George Carlin, the brilliant comedian, is talking about? This is years ago. He's dead now. This was in the 90s. All right, are you ready?
Okay. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. So they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Oh.
Wow, huh? Sure. How's that? Little George Carlin for you, some inspiration on a Monday morning.
Yep, that hit the spot.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Feel right?
Red, white, and blue dick. Okay.
Yeah, being jammed in your ass. That's what he said.
Ooh.
All right, let's move on.
That's a small thing.
Okay. How attached are you to smacking your child? Because it is now officially illegal to do that in South Africa.
All right. Let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
So I don't have children. If I did, I don't know whether smacking is always the first best option. And I know parents who've never smacked their children, and some of those children end up being great, and some of them end up being disasters. I know that every parent believes its child is super special, but some of them are not. They're little douchebags who will grow up to get in everybody else's way and cause huge amounts of trouble everywhere they go.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be beaten. But then I also know a lot of kids whose parents have never hit them. And they're perfectly well adjusted. They are not rude. They're not impolite. They're not badly behaved. And this goes equally for the children who were beaten. And I don't mean beaten as in
abused.
Abused and molested. I mean, like your father gave you a smack on the bum when you were badly behaved. Or your mother took a slipper to you.
Ooh,
you know, or your dad took the belt.
Mm.
And he gave you a crack across the ass because you were not listening to him. And children don't listen. You can't reason with a 5-year-old. Yep. I don't care who you are. You could be the Jesus Christ of parents. You can't reason with a 5-year-old. 5-year-old doesn't want to reason. It will lose the reasoning battle. So it's not going to enter that battle with you. It's going to scream and whine and make a noise and make you uncomfortable and embarrass you in front of your friends and lie on the floor and flail its arms and legs around. You know how kids are.
Mm.
And sometimes the only way to stop that craziness is to pick a child up by one of its arms and smash it against the ass.
Spot on, Gareth. I think we must never underestimate how simple we are as species. We keep thinking that a kid will understand subtlety, understand like big picture stuff.
I mean, our closest relatives, Ben, you were in the wild. Our closest relative, the chimpanzee, when chimpanzees are angry with one of the other chimpanzees, they sometimes will eat them.
Yeah.
Like eat them. Just completely eat them.
And you know what happens after that?
Oh.
Everyone behaves.
Order in the troop.
Never mind.
Exactly. Order in the troop.
Okay. Well, have a listen to this. In a groundbreaking ruling in the Gauteng High Court last week, Judge Raylene Keatley had this to say. The common law defense of reasonable chastisement is unconstitutional and no longer applies in our law. She ruled that if you could be charged with assault if you acted in a certain way towards another adult, the same act against your child can now land you in court too. And this is true. Like if you are walking down the street and somebody comes and smacks you, you can report them to the police. If you, Gareth, as a man, decided to lift some random woman by her arm and smack her across her bum, can you imagine the kind of trouble that would get you into? So this judge is saying,
you have to be strong.
If we're saying that that kind of behavior is not acceptable from one adult to another, then why are we doing it to the children?
Okay, fair point. Okay, fair point. Because you don't want to fall under assault. Now, assault is horrible. Assault can be a variety of things. But what if there is a special move you can pull off just to hit your kid? It's a learned move.
Yeah.
And you have to be qualified in order to pull it off.
What is this move?
I don't know. We'll get into it. But basically, you need a license to hit your kid, right? But you need to hit it in a certain way. It's like a finishing move, but obviously not so deadly. And if you can get that right, then you're allowed to apply physical hurt to your child.
That's the one thing. Now, I'm very seldom on the side of parents because a lot of time parents are not objective. We've discussed this before. You know, they think their kid's the most incredible child ever, but it might not be. And you can't say that to a parent because they really think that.
But is it their fault that they're not objective because they are trapped into being like that way because they love this thing?
Of course. So
emotions get in the way of their objectivity.
So here's where I am on the side of parents. No outside party is allowed to take your place in your child's life. Unless you are mentally ill, you're a dangerous and violent criminal, or you are you're one of those molesters, you're one of these pedophiles, right? These pederasts. But otherwise, your right to raise your child the way you see fit is just about unquestionable.
Okay.
You made the child. You now have the responsibility to raise it. And if in raising it, you occasionally feel a little corporal punishment is called for, you have no reason to explain yourself to me. I am just a third party who has nothing to do with this.
Mm.
You don't have to explain. You don't have to. If some woman, I've seen this happen in the shops before. There'll be a woman and the child is throwing a shit fit in the one aisle, and the mother will pick the child up and smack it on the ass and put it in the trolley, and the child will stop crying.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes they'll cry harder. But anyway, I'm not going to go up to that woman and tell her what she should and shouldn't do with her child. None of my or your or the government or this judge's business. None.
So let's just think as lawmakers then. If we go with that train of thought, where do we draw the line? I am the aunt of the child. Mm-hmm. Am I allowed to hit the child?
No.
But I spend...
Unless the parents said, The parents said, Aunt Sia,
yeah.
You're allowed to smack Tsekhofatso.
Yeah.
Then you go for it.
Okay.
But guys, it goes back to my whole plan about having a license. But it must be such a way, right?
A license
to parent.
But a license to smack your kid. It's like you get a crayfish license. You're allowed to catch crayfish for a certain time. It must be this big, and that mm-hmm. works. It keeps things in the balance.
Right.
So what you need to do is have this move, right? This is what it should be. You have to raise your dominant hand, and you have to shout discipline. And with your other hand, you're allowed to smack your child once. Because if you do that, you're not going to obviously, because when you grab someone, you could really hurt them. Okay. So now your dominant hand's in the air. So that's been rendered useless. Okay. And you have to just declare discipline.
Right. And then that gets your brain into the right place because
you declared it.
So you declared discipline, but you also have to have a witness.
Exactly. So you've gone through the act. It's been declared. This is not you just having a shit fit. And then if someone was to question it, saying, look, can I see your discipline card, please? And there it is. You can just trap it onto your driver's license. I am entitled to beat my child where necessary.
So is that the move that we're deciding on? Yes. Now, because I don't know,
you've got to declare the word discipline in your own language, of course.
Yeah. Oh,
doesn't have to be
11 official languages, 11 official languages. South Africa, yes.
You declare loudly discipline. Yeah. And with your non-dominant hand you can make a strike.
Discipline.
You can make a strike your child, not in the face though.
Is it just me though, or are there subtle differences between how moms and dads discipline their children? Like for me, like, moms always seem to be able to find something nearby quite quickly.
Yes.
Like, whether it's a shoe or, like, whatever, they just grab into something and that is now what they're using to hit you.
Right.
Whereas dads really are more like, now go to my room and fetch the belt.
Exactly. And that's a little hardcore, but now they can embrace the system. Now they can embrace a universally accepted.
Okay.
See, all right.
There'll always be loopholes here. Mm. Like, for example, I know that this will just allow some parents to be very creative with how they go about, you know, dealing with their kids. Some parents will give their kids a bowl of pegs, you know, clothes pegs, and say, here, go and play. You know, a little two-year-old will put a peg on their lips, put a little peg on their fingers, end up ruining themselves.
Sounds like psychopathic, sir.
Exactly. You'll just get creative. If I can't smack my kids, then, oh, sorry, my foot was just a bit, you know, in front of me, and then the kid just happened to trip.
The child like, fell in the pool by mistake.
Well, the more you talk, the more my plan actually makes sense. But also, I mean, like, some very basic physical correctness, let's call it, passes, okay? You get a bit of a burn in the arm, whatever. But if your kids have to then listen to you manipulate them verbally, going, well, you've done that today, so now you are actually a horrible person.
I would not want to. I'd rather get a smack. Yeah.
All that voice crap.
The guilt.
About, you have let your family down today, Stephen.
Yeah. Look, I have to
just
be honest.
Smack him. Discipline. There. And Stephen will go, okay, I'm being a bit of a dick. Let's carry on. Now he's a disappointment.
Yeah.
The kid's going to grow up to be a mess.
I wasn't smacked as a kid, and I got that whole guilt trip. And I wish sometimes, hit me once and let me get over it. When it's now like, you have disappointed me today.
You guilt trip a small child.
Oh, no, worst. The worst thing was, is just wait till your father gets home.
Oh, really? Yeah, that was the favorite go-to line. I was.
And then you start resenting your father because him coming home means your life gets horrible.
Yes,
you should be able to see, embrace the breadwinner. Hey, Dad, what's going on?
Yeah, your father then suddenly represents like, oh, the doom has arrived back at home. No, I was smacked as a child, but my father didn't do the smacking at home. It was just my mom.
Yeah, and she used an implement.
Shoes, belts,
spoons,
the remote control. If it was closest to her, she would just throw it at you. No, I'm joking. She's not Grace Mugabe, but no, shoes and belts, pretty much.
See, my dad was low-key about how he smacked my sisters. He would say, if they did something wrong, he'd say, let's go to my room and talk. Once you are in his bedroom, then he would lock the bedroom door.
Yes.
And my dad always wore like collared shirts. And then he'd just, you know, drop the key in one of his pockets and go, so tell me what happened. You know, there's no way you are getting out of there.
Mentally, okay. That sounds like a Rubik's cube of worry.
And, you know, my parents' bedroom was just right on top of the lounge upstairs. So there'd be silence. And then you'd hear like these, like feet stomping as my sisters were trying to run around. That was horrible. Horrible.
And then you just hear,
yeah, that game over, done, dusted.
And you didn't get smacked?
No, I didn't.
I think smacking, I think it's necessary, but I don't think you have to do it with objects. Like, I disagree with stuff. But like, my uncle, he was a really naughty kid, and my granddad said to my grand, you need to now go smack him, take him into the bathroom, and then give him a hiding. And my gran hated smacking. So, like, my gran took him into the bathroom, and he was screaming. And my granddad thought, oh, no, my gran's going to kill him. Like, she needs to stop. And what my gran was doing was telling my uncle to scream, and my gran was hitting the bath. So telling him to scream, so it sounded like he was smacking him.
How's your uncle turned out?
Yeah. Oh, he's out of control.
Right.
He should have got smacked.
He should have got smacked, yeah. Yeah, I just don't... Be very careful, because there's a thing that, you know, you don't want the state or anyone else really involved between a good parent and its child. I don't think that that's ever an idea that any of us want to see enforced. There is no way this government in particular has ever proven its interference to be a positive thing. So don't tell people how to raise their children. I'm not going to say that I like the idea of smacking children. I don't have any, and if I did have them, I'd probably try not to smack them.
Mm.
But I'm not a parent.
But going back to your,
never tell a parent what to do.
To your initial point, and really I get this with kids around me, you can't reason with like a four-year-old. And my sisters, you know, one of my sisters has tried the whole, you know, super nanny route. Oh, naughty corner. You get 4 minutes in the corner away from the TV or what. Like, kids don't get that. 4 minutes, they'll have fun in the corner. They start doodling. They start humming to themselves. And they run around afterwards.
Yeah, you get these child psychologists who will tell you that, you know, you've got to try and sit down and explain to the child and everything. I've seen one of these children more than once. I've seen kids in a temper tantrum situation. There's no way you can get control of them. They're not going to suddenly come right. By the way, if you're wondering where Rich is, he's not in today. We'll catch up with him soon enough, though, in the reality check. It's not happening this week. All right, a couple of messages that have come through. Oh, man, I broke so many TV remote controls on my kids' heads.
Everyone loses there. How do you change a channel?
You tell any black mother that it's illegal to whip their kids in public. I double dare you, says somebody.
Yeah, not going to work.
Oh, man. As a parent of a two-year-old, it is impossible to expect a child to reason or understand you if you can barely communicate with them. And Jay says, I was told, I brought you into this world and I'll take you out of it. And I'm just fine. Yeah. How do we define mental illness, Gareth? Most religious people are mentally ill by definition, and those are the parents who are demanding the right to take a belt to their child as often as they want. No, by mental illness, I mean like people who are not in control of their, you know, of their actions. People who you would not deem to be guilty in a murder situation because they don't have volition. They don't have the ability to. That's what I mean. I'm certainly not saying, you know, if you believe in something that's crazy, you know how I feel about those people. Someone says, Geostorm is the biggest piece of shit movie ever. Don't waste your money. It'll come out on TV for free. And then someone says, here's an idea. Gord on Thursdays and Fridays and Robin on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I enjoyed Robin last week, huh? It's always fun having those guys in, the comedians, because they're just fun to talk to, and these people have interesting observations about stuff. Rumors about abound that Financial Minister Malusi Gigaba could get the chop after his midterm budget speech. Mm-hmm. This after Gigaba spoke against nuclear. Yo.
Oh.
And someone asking, is Ben's discipline hand almost like laying the pimp hand down?
Kind of, but yeah, like a more, yeah.
Well, see, pimp hand, you don't get a warning.
It's also, just, you know, if you create something iconic, you can really sort of balance it as far as that I could be a part of society rather than the extremes.
Someone says, I have smacked my daughter's hand for throwing things because that she understands, but it is difficult. I know a lot of dads who don't like physically disciplining their daughters. They're not comfortable with that.
Mm.
Their sons, they'll throw them from wall to wall. But the daughter, they're not comfortable with. And you don't want to mess your child up for life by playing mind games. See, this is important. That's what Ben was hinting at as well. You don't want to do mind games and manipulation on children. It always ends up very badly for them when they're lying in the therapist's office 10 years, 20 years after you're dead. And they lie there and suddenly they're unburdening themselves. All this shit that the mom made them feel guilty their whole lives. the dad needed them to be what the dad wasn't. You know, you get all that mind game crap into your kids' heads, they're going to hate you when you're dead.
But
parents, you don't want that.
I also think you must relax. Like, no one's perfect out there. You know, there are kids who are complaining that they had too much money growing up. Some kids are now in therapy because they had not a lot of money. There are parents who, you know, kids who are complaining that their parents smacked them. I can complain and say, well, because I didn't get smacked. Ugh, just do what you want to do in your own room.
Yeah,
no one can
parents,
say anything. You are not going to be perfect, so relax.
Discipline!
But parents also go through moments where they feel pressured because they're all out-parenting each other. Like, it's a case of, oh, you know, so-and-so is such a good dad or such a bad dad because of X, Y, Z.
But it's probably
like
all a lie.
There are all sorts of pressures.
Here's
on
where
them.
I can be objective because I'm not a parent. So, listen, parents. Don't judge other people's parenting until all of your kids are about 25. Then look at the kids, see how they've turned out,
yeah.
See which ones have got their heads screwed on right and which ones are trying to make a difference in the world in a positive way, and see which ones are the drug addicts and the losers and the ones who throw their own feces at the walls. And, and then you can say, those are bad parents. But until 25, you're all in the test phase. Nobody's got any results in yet. It's pretty much it's an open season on whether or not you're a parent of value or repute. Okay? Let's not be judging too soon. Someone says, hey, team, my mom tossed a knife at me in rage.
No.
Fair enough, it was a butter knife. And then I shouted, wait till my dad gets home. And here's what she just did. As you can imagine, I was even more in the shit. That was the 80s.
You probably got like a nice one across the face after you said that.
For sure.
Throwing a knife at you?
For sure.
Jeez. Because one of my uncles, as soon as my cousin got to about, and this is a male cousin of mine, got to about like 13, 14, my uncle had this philosophy of, you now think you're a man, then let's sort this out like men. And whenever there were issues,
bare knuckle boxing.
Properly. Wow. Like, come at me, bro. Come. Let's sort this out. Like, punching.
It's all fun and games. So the uncle grabs a bottle.
Yeah. Jesus. You see, there are different rules for different homes. But basically, our law now says that corporal punishment in the home is now also illegal. It's just as illegal as when our teachers used to be able to smack us.
Kids have too many rights.
Ben. All right, here's something.
They're proving so little, yet they have so much.
Should I spank my child? A comprehensive flowchart. Are they old enough to understand reason?
No.
Okay. Then they're not old enough to understand the reason you're striking them. Stop hitting your child, asshole.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Do you like that, Ben? You like the reasoning?
I like the reasoning because it's smart. I don't agree with it, though.
Someone
here. Is your old to understand reason? No, then you must smack it because it's a primal reminder that they're doing something wrong. They don't understand reason, they'll keep doing it. But they understand a smack because we, as humans, don't like pain.
Smack him.
Simple
discipline.
As that.
I have two boys, says somebody here. Sometimes I just want to swallow them. And when I say that, my 3-year-old tells me you can't.
Like those chimps, right?
That's great. Ramon says, parenting has a relatively minor role to play in a little child's character. Smacking a child or not smacking a child will have little relevance to how that child would turn out later in life. Oh, shut up, Ramon. You don't know.
I mean, is he like...
He's just had a child.
Just
I mean,
pull that out of where?
She's basically... She's also too young to communicate yet. We'll wait. Wait till your daughter's 25, Ramon. Then we'll have an opinion from you on parenting.
Wait till your daughter brings someone home like Gareth.
Yeah.
Then you'll see. You'll like,
want to smack someone.
Should discipline her more.
Right.
Advent calendars. We've got to talk about it. You know, Sia was talking about the fact that he has to start planning his December.
Yeah.
Well, Christmas gifts are crappy. Mostly because nowadays you're not allowed to have Christmas because it's a religious thing, whatever. But advent calendars are the best Christmas gifts. Now we get really creative around them. In the past, they would be small chocolates.
Yes.
Well, the other day, you can get small gin every single day. Oh. So you can open up, yeah, hooray, Christmas.
I'd love this gin. See my buddy going up to the advent calendar in December and every day before work, like 5 in the morning when everyone else is still asleep.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, dun, dun, dun.
Rose water gin. Thank you, 14th of December.
Just 30 mils to start the day, right?
Well, you can have an advent 15, whatever it is. But now, obviously, chocolates, I think you're going to get fat, and then it goes, oh, January, oh, it's just too much. Now you can get protein bar advent calendars.
Wow.
Okay.
So, for those you can still think muscle, still think gains, but you're still getting the festivities of an advent calendar.
How marvelous. That's a good idea, Ben. Are you going to make one?
I will, because now I want to do DIY stuff. So I think like what we should all do is have like create like a wooden structure, and every year we have the same thing. So like think of a little pigeonhole system.
Mm.
Make that of advent calendar. It's just December until 24th or 25th.
Yeah, it goes to the 24th.
Right. In your little pigeonhole, you have a variety of things. It's also great ways for couples to interact with each other in the morning. Okay, it's my day. Oh, look, there's that thing you wanted. Or it's just protein bar every day. Every day, but.
Your lekker, but.
Every day.
All right. Listen, but we've got to wrap this up. We've got Solim Simanga, the mayor of Tshwane, next. First, it's time to check in on the unnews. The Russians were in town over the weekend. Vlad felt it necessary to remind Ujekob that he needs to start paying for the nuclear deal. Flustered, the president reaffirmed that the money will come soon and boasted about recent cabinet reshuffles, which were done just for him. Vlad was temporarily satisfied, but left 4 burly men with tattoos in Johannesburg to assist the president with hastening the deal. In other news, Danny Yordan has been accused of rape again. Once the news broke, he was instantly summoned to a top-level ANC meeting. It seems the latest accusation has got the party thinking Yordan may have some presidential qualities that cannot be ignored ahead of December. And finally, the All Blacks suffered a shock loss to the Wallabies over the weekend, but coach Steve Hansen is not fazed. He did, however, criticize the demanding fixture list. This is the time of year where his players traditionally like to have affairs in public toilets, get new tattoos, and physically remind their wives who is boss. Playing rugby right now is among the last things on their mind.
This is CliffCentral.com.